Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Mitsuo Kubo.
Really good. Okay, you're coming in today from an absolute vortex of nightmares. I should say first that you're an artist.
Yes, I am.
Do you have other monikers that...
there's a lot of commas, but most notably for the time being, I am really going through it right now.
This is the weirdest day to talk to you. Do you want to say a little? Oh, and I should also say you have a podcast too with Luca.
I do have a podcast with my number one co-conspirator and dear friend Luca Antonucci of Culpa Press. Yes, the infamous Culpa Press.
One of the absolute pillars of the Bay Area art world.
He is a support beam, supporting structure. You know, like those walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to protect him at all costs.
At all costs.
But anyhow, what happened to you? Do you want to say about the ordeal you just survived?
Yeah. So normally I'm a bit more chipper and bouncy, but let me tell you, folks. Last night, I went through quite a journey. I was having dinner with my lovely wife, Simone, and about a few weeks ago, I was purchasing some marijuana, as one would. However, I was accosted by a very nice, lovely gal who was selling some weed lemonade. I was like, you know what? Kate, I don't know if you know this about me, but I do love an exotic beverage.
Sure enough.
As one would. And needless to say, I bought this weed drink.
Just straight up weed lemonade. It's like a lemon strawberry.
Actually was a lemonade strawberry.
You're shitting me.
Yeah, carbonated THC. You are.
Thank you.
Anyway, I don't know if you know this about me. But I have a habit of not always reading the packaging for things that I consume, which...
Why would you?
Why would I? I'm just like, you know, I'm here for a good time. Needless to say, last night I had dinner, and I just cracked open a can of THC lemonade. And
now,
just,
were you out?
No, I was at home.
Oh, thank God.
I was
at home.
We were watching Severance, which I think definitely led to my...
The finale?
No, it's the one before the finale.
Okay. Anyway, pretty heavy shit, though.
It is heavy. I love the show. But the thing is, I was just taking huge swigs of this fucking lemonade. And then my wife took one sip, and she's like, how much of this did you drink? I'm like, I don't know, just like half. And she said that each can is contains each serving, which is essentially a sip, is like... 100 milligrams of THC.
No, no, no.
So I drink like half of one.
No, 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 no.
And
I'm surprised you're not still messed up.
Oh
right
my
now.
God. Last night, it was abject hell. Just absolute horrible, just hell. And Simone, God bless her, she could not help but laugh because I guess I said some pretty hilarious things because I don't remember a lot. I just remember being. I remember being stuck in this sort of like echo, this memory echo. I would be saying something to Simone about my situation, but the thing is, I would immediately forget what I said to her, and then I would close my eyes, and then I'd have a dream of exactly what I'd said to her. So I went through this I don't even know how long, it felt endless, period of just... I wasn't sure what I was saying to Simone and what I wasn't. And then I would just kind of wake up in and out of just conscious. Like at one point I woke up in the shower and I was like, what the fuck? And then I closed my eyes and then I was in bed and then I closed my eyes and I woke up and then I was back in the shower again. And I was like, but I was in this weird, I don't know if I was actually doing the same thing over and over again, or if I was just having a dream about the thing that I was doing. Meanwhile, in the background, Simone is just laughing her ass off.
Oh, shit.
Because she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm clearly not okay. And then I would just hear her kind of like, I just had these moments of just like, it was like something out of like Jacob's Ladder, where Whoa. You would just like wake up and then like I would see Simone just hovering over me, just kind of poking at me. And then I'd close my eyes And then I wake up and like I'm like my face is in the refrigerator. I'm just eating ice cream.
Oh, that's nice.
So I was just trying all the. And then at one point, I even asked Simone to consult ChatGPT about what is the best way to fix this. And I think she started laughing some more. And I think I remember having.
Now,
some,
would you do that in your normal state?
I don't think
consult
so.
Consult ChatGPT no, for potentially no.
I just
medical
I was just
advice.
Going. I was going through every facet of just like. You know, just this,
where can we find help?
There's got to be help.
Where do we look to?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still, I'm definitely going, I have a bit of a hangover, weed hangover. So
but
apologies.
The panic has subsided.
The panic, well, the panic is always there.
Sure.
It just was more pronounced last night.
Okay. But you're back to baseline.
Baseline panic. Yeah. So I brought my kombucha here.
Thank God.
Thank God for kombucha.
That'll sort you right out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for people that may find themselves in this situation?
I mean, just, showering was really helpful. I think I may have tried to bring a pillow into the shower and someone stopped me.
Yeah. Seems like one good thing is to have someone with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she was rubbing my feet at one point, which was really nice. I think I was eating ice cream too at the same time. Mm. Sorry.
I'm very interested.
You have two guests today. It's me and then my crippling emotional anxiety from the incident I just had.
Sure enough.
It was awful. Let me tell you.
Okay, let me scratch off a couple of things
Sorry.
That I had on my list of
Please.
Stuff to talk about. We won't cover dystopia.
Fair enough. I mean, you can, but I feel like I was just my entire Nate last night. I didn't even finish Severance.
Oh, fuck.
I know, it's so stupid.
Well, then we won't talk about that
please
either.
Please don't.
Do you want to say anything about your art practice?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like your most famous thing is the Prince and shirts, like, of
the shirts?
Art satire.
Yeah.
Parody.
The satire shirts are pretty well known. I think my crass drawings.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
But your freaking shirts are at Open Edition and stuff. Like, I'm seeing them all over the place.
Yeah, they're you know, they get around.
They're Cy Twombly with a Cy, S-I-G-H.
Yeah.
Agnes Farton.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think,
everybody
I've
has,
heard
yeah.
really glowing praise think, of the Agnes Farton.
I feel like the ones that people like, it's almost like a Rorschach. I don't really know. I was like, you like that one? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I always like collecting things. I always like... I'm definitely a hoarder, so I always like, if I make anything, I always like to make as many of it as possible. I like to be the person that's contributing to the conversation of just gotta collect all of them. I love that. I don't know.
You also have a series of drawing books. You are a very prolific drawer.
I like to draw a lot.
Some of which include people grating off their nipples with a cheese grater.
Yeah. I drew a guy. I was on the bus. Yeah, that does that. I drew a guy on the bus, and not on the bus, on the BART the other day, and he was eating a banana very menacingly. It was like very aggressive.
Yeah.
Banana eating.
Like, this could be you.
Kinda. Yeah. I drew a picture. Oh, I didn't bring it, but he just. I drew a picture of him, but it just like it was like a. It was a drawing of him eating the banana, but I also drew him also holding a weapon. And it was sort of, because it just felt like he was waiting for somebody to just make a move. Not necessarily on him per se, but it was almost like he was like a vigilante.
Whoa.
Vigilante fruit eater.
Holy shit.
It was really funny because he just kept looking back. And it wasn't like a paranoid like twitch. It was like, I'm here to dispense justice.
Whoa. Did he dispense it?
He didn't. I mean, he may have. I had to get off the BART.
Are you doing a lot of... Are you inspired often by observation?
Yeah, I think so. I usually... Most of the things I just... Everything I make is always just simply like a response to something or someone I saw the other day. Like the other day, I saw a guy. He was an unhoused person asking for money. I didn't draw him, but I don't know what to do with this information. But he was... He was holding a sign. He was asking for more, but he had a Venmo barcode on his sign.
Smart.
I was like, that is innovative.
Yes.
I've never encountered that before, and I don't know what to do with this information. I didn't want to take a photo of him because I'm not that guy.
Well, I mean, could scan the QR code.
I could, but then I just, yeah, but then.
I mean, he's.
He's there. I guess I should have.
He's asking for cameras to be pointed at
him. I should have rewarded his ingenuity. It was smart.
I mean, I would be donating a lot more if there were more QR codes out there, because I have cash almost never.
No, I have some cash, but I usually, QR codes. The other thing is, it was a missed opportunity on his end, because he had it printed and then he just taped it, which it would have been a lot more interesting if he hand drew it.
Oh my God, I've done that.
Like
it
a hand drawn.
Fucking eternity.
It's so long.
But not so hard to do on graph paper.
That's true. That's mm-hmm. true.
Look, folks, this is what you do. You print out the QR code. You got to make sure it matches up with the size of your graph paper. Then you put the printout underneath the graph paper. If you've got a light box, that works. But you can also just use like your iPad screen as a light box or computer monitor.
True.
Then you just bang it out.
You could also do it with it's true. You can also do it with Legos.
Holy shit.
And just photograph your Legos.
Oh, my God.
Lego QR codes?
Yes.
That's very Ai Weiwei, though. I mean, I have an Ai Weiwei shirt.
Oh, God. Remember Ai Weiwei? Did you go to his Alcatraz show where he had the Lego portraits?
I did. It was pretty... it was very P.T. Barnum-esque.
Circus?
It was a circus.
Yeah, big time.
I like circuses. They're sad, though.
I got out there because I volunteered to be one of the little... minders.
Oh, the okay. Yeah, like, and, don't touch that kite.
Yeah, but they had so many already, they didn't know where to put me, so I just kind of slinked off, got back on the boat, and fucking ran away after I saw everything.
Did you get paid?
No, it was all voluntary.
I see. Well, that's a good deal. That's a good deal.
Yeah, I consider it my escape from Alcatraz.
That's a good one, yeah. It'd be funny if that's how the 1995 movie The Rock wound up, if they all just...
were volunteering for the highway. Everybody, they just put on the volunteer shirt.
Volunteer
Nobody
mercenaries.
Knows. Where the hell were they?
What do you mean where they were?
What? They were on a prison on an island.
Yeah.
Where? Rikers Island?
No, it was shot at
Alcatraz.
Yeah, they shot it at Alcatraz.
Was it a fictitious prison?
No, it's supposed to be Alcatraz.
What, in like an alternate reality where it's still running?
No.
Or is it set in the past?
No, it's set in the, 1995. Uh-huh. Michael Bay. So, was it 95 or 96?
You really know your movies.
I think it's 96.
Especially of this time period.
I think it's 96.
I feel like all you basement boys are.
We love our movies.
Should say about the basement.
Oh, yeah, we have the basement. We have a film, a movie club. Uh-huh. We have screenings every
Wednesday.
The basement
is a studio in
not
the
Not too far
Mission.
From here. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not too far from here.
With you, Luca, David Bass. Who else is down
Ross,
there?
Ross Waitman and Graham Hollock.
Oh, Graham's down there.
Mm-hmm. Eggy Press.
All right.
Wow, I'm really high still.
But you're... maybe this will be in your, like, the kind of mental environment that you're in.
Yeah, maybe.
I talked to Abel... mutual okay, friend.
Sure, of course.
He said I should ask you about your impressions.
My impression? I mean, I have a lot of, I mean, you know.
Can you do me? Don't.
I don't know if I can.
Do it. No, can you know. Do Abel?
Yeah.
Talk about a book.
Nah, that's all right.
Do Luca.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if I can do Luca.
You lived in Chicago for a time. You did undergrad.
I lived
there,
in Chicago.
Yes. Nailed it. do you... well, I was actually just talking to Luca Antonucci yesterday, and he believes that the Midwest is not a real region.
I mean, like, I think he's thinking about it in terms of culture, but... it's a region. There's things to do.
I couldn't believe. I mean, he was getting heated about it, too.
Chicago. Yeah, so I went to the School of the Art Institute in Chicago for 3 years. It's a great city. It's a beautiful city. There's a lot of wonderful people there. I got arrested there once.
For what?
Destruction of private property. I'm okay, though. I got really drunk. I got in a fight, and I got drunk. And then I, started knocking things over, and then
where
it was, I believe it was in Wicker Park.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. It was
are you
so
kind of a menace to society?
I am not. I'm really not. It was a long time ago. I was a lot more rambunctious then. I'm a lot more calm now.
Sure enough. I mean, who didn't do some wild?
Course.
Who didn't get arrested for something in
Absolutely.
College?
I think actually getting arrested is actually I think it's a good way of building character. I think everybody should be in jail for at least like a couple of days.
I think that, yeah.
Just to see what it's like. Also, the cops that arrested me were super racist. They kept asking me if I could teach them karate.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Wow. That's...
never mind that I could, but I didn't.
And this is in Chicago.
Correct.
Were they Irish?
Probably.
Sure enough.
I went to go see the Pogues in Chicago once, too. And Jesus Christ, I never felt so... I was very uncomfortable.
For like, those who don't know, that's an Irish punk band.
Yeah. And in Chicago, no less. And let me tell you, there was like only, I think, one other person of color that I saw there at the show. It was like a little Indian guy, and he looked terrified. Like, he had just genuine look of fear. Like, kind of, yeah, it was pretty bad. He looked like he was like, it looked like someone played a really elaborate practical joke on him. Like, he didn't realize what he was getting himself into. So I saw him from afar. I felt bad. He was like quickly enveloped by the crowd. But yeah, but I got a lot of nasty stares that night too. Really bad.
Actually, Abel asked me if you... Abel gave me a lot of topics to discuss with you. He told me to ask you about racism.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you know, I've experienced it firsthand. It's a delicate subject. And
yeah, we can move on. Okay. What about 4D movie experiences?
So about a few years ago, me and my basement cohorts, we decided to go and partake in the 4D experience at the Stonestown Mall. And have you been to the Stonestown Mall? You've been to the Stonestown Mall.
I have. I've never been to the movie theater there.
So they have the 4D experience is, well, first off, we went to go see, I believe it was Fast and Furious 9. Not X. 9. And the way the 4D, sorry, I just bit my fingers.
The pinnacle of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh, easily. So the way the 4D experience works is, you know, there are rows. There are like maybe 20 bunches of seats that are slightly elevated. And I think it's about 6 seats in these, right? And they're basically each of this packet of 6 seats, they're on like a motion sensor thing. And it's like literally, it's like a carnival ride thing. Kind of just moves around with the motion on the screen, but there is also they drop rain on you, like drops of water, right? Uh-huh. And then they have these little plastic things that are at the seat of your at the foot of your chair that whip at your heels when gunfire is happening to mimic the sensation of like bullets whizzing by you.
So weird.
It's incredible. Now, whenever there's an explosion, right? And here's the gem of it, right? Here's the real magic. They literally shoot. They have smoke cannons that shoot out from the top corners of the screen. And for some reason, they have one jet cannon of smoke positioned directly beneath one of those suites of chairs. So every time there's an explosion, right, when we were watching this movie, there was this one row of seats that was just completely blasted with smoke, and they had to kind of wave away all the smoke.
Oh my God.
It was, we all stopped looking at the screen and were just looking at this poor group of people who were clearly having a bad time. Because can you imagine being sat in a chair and then all of a sudden you're like elevated by this mechanical horse thing underneath you, and it's literally just waving you around while a smoke cannon is just shooting you in the face every 15 minutes. And it costs like $50 to do. So these people
holy shit.
Yeah. Well, I think for all of them. So I think it's like 20,
like 25 yeah, bucks. Yeah.
So like these people, it looked like it was a family. They paid like $200 to get just blasted in the face with a smoke cannon while being tossed around what is essentially a bad movie, a great bad movie, but they couldn't even see how bad it was because they're just constantly being bombarded with smoke, and then everyone was just laughing at them.
Oh my God.
Like, literally, people were pointing at that row and laughing at them because it was just like they clearly didn't know what they had signed up for. I don't know.
Oh no. Do you think there was some kind of engineering situation?
I think if anything, it was a lack of engineering because they just didn't, because engineering is about efficiency and, yes, and making sure things run accordingly to the plan.
Of
that
course.
Was not a part of the plan.
But I mean, like, do you think there was a like the movie theater needed to call the 4D cinema headquarters and get them to come? Or was it, that's just how it is?
I think it's just, that's just how it is.
And if you aren't an insider and don't know don't know where not to sit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like not wanting to sit behind like a pillar at a concert.
Right.
Right?
Those people. Well, do you know the coordinates of those seats?
You know, I don't know the number, but I do know that it's like two rows down and one row to the left of the center.
Okay. Folks, if you're going to the 4D movie at Stonestown Mall,
yes,
you got to sort avoid your that. Shit out. Avoid and actually, have you had this experience? Give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. And we want to say thank you to our donors, Jim Prosser and Anonymous. If you want to donate, go to congratulationspinetree.com and smash that donate button.
Big shout out to Anonymous.
Anonymous, which is could potentially be several people.
That's true.
I just want that to be out there.
Sure.
For yeah. folks wondering if we have more than two donors.
Hey.
We could potentially have thousands.
Anonymity is king.
Exactly. I feel like we didn't talk enough about your art practice.
Oh, yeah.
If you want, you're also a painter. You do so many things.
Yeah. No, I mean, I paint. I draw. I make collage. I take photographs of stupid things. I collect. You know, I think... In terms of my practice, I kind of just feel like I'm a hoarder. I'm just constantly hoarding. I think most of the things that I decide to make aren't really dictated by me so much as the things that I like.
Uh-huh.
I think I do truly feel that there is value in just constantly trying to find garbage and seeing what you can pull out of it. I think that's one of the reasons I like to collect so much.
Yeah.
I'm very much of a hoard. I think the thing, I mean, you know, I know hoarding has got such a negative connotation on all these things, but I mean, I don't know, if you surround yourself with things that you like and you know what you like, there's always some kind of a story to tell or some story to sort of discover about yourself. I don't know. It's
your studio looks like you're really building a little cocoon.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think as far as my practice goes, I think collecting is the most important thing a person can do and find some way of creating some kind of story out of that, I think, is the most important thing.
Do you have a lot of stuff at your house, too?
You know, that's the thing is I don't.
Okay.
I so do. I have a lot of books. I have a lot of books.
The
yeah.
nexus of,
yeah.
of all the collecting.
Yeah. Yes. I do. I mean, you know, the VH. I feel like right now, collecting VHS has become very much a big part of my practice. I just imagine this perfect collection of things. I think that's the thing is like, I think every hoarder's trying to find the perfect collection of things and because you can't really figure what that out is.
I'm not sure that that's what's going on with the hoarders.
I think so. I think
it's more about not wanting to lose things. Like well, that if you, you know,
I guess
that there's some kind of value to all the things they're hoarding and that they're, I mean, I think it's kind of a psychological condition.
Well, I don't know anything about that. As far as I know, I'm sound of mind.
And, we established that you have kind of a baseline of elevated anxiety.
Well,
do you think that? I mean, I'm mentally ill.
We all have some mental illness.
Do you think that factors into your, I mean, aside from your hoarding, do you think that factors into what you make? I mean, your drawings are really unhinged.
I don't know. You know, I think as far as the drawings go, I think it's all about being honest with how you want to connect with somebody without being too grotesque. I think being funny is the most important thing a person can be.
Yeah, you really do straddle that line of, you know, it. I mean, to me, the drawings are often hilarious.
Well, thank you.
But also very much like playing with grotesqueness yeah. and the just, abject body
just more
horror.
Sincere.
Expand on that.
Well, I just think, you know, I do kind of feel like everybody has a little part of them that's a little unnecessary, a little unhinged, and some people aren't so comfortable to express that. And I think I think the best way to sort of get at that part of a person is to disarm them with laughter.
Yes.
And then once you do that, then you can show them something kind of gross and make them feel a little more uncomfortable, more comfortable, more relaxed. I find that I'm more relaxed when I'm around somebody who has, who I like to be around oversharers.
Oh, I love that.
Because Because I don't think I overshare, not because I'm like, I just don't feel like I have anything interesting to overshare. Whereas most people who do overshare, man, they tell you everything.
Yes.
And I love that there's never a moment where you can kind of anticipate what they're going to say next. You know, one moment they'll tell you about their laundry, and the next thing they'll tell you about this horrible
abscess
thing that they got on their on the back of their nethers or something. And you're just like, Jesus Christ.
I saw you do stand-up one time for a Bonanza put together stand-up night in one of their exhibitions.
That was fun.
I believe you used the word nethers in
Did I say that?
Said it.
You know, I just think it's a good word.
It's an excellent word.
It's a great word because, you know, you can say genitals, I guess.
I do like to say genitals.
Genitals is fun.
It's funny.
But nethers is I think almost because it's slightly more polite, it's so much more upsetting
to
hear.
It's almost Victorian or something.
Yeah. And then you start, because when you get into that mindset of like how people used to talk back then, they're like, oh, they were a lot more well-mannered, but then they would also do just really horrible stuff.
Oh, they were sickos.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they would use like this really delicate, polite, like, it's like a doily placed on top of a, you know.
And all their wool clothes, buttoned up and constricted.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, like, they didn't really have, like, a study of venereal disease back then. So,
no.
Can you imagine?
Syphilis.
Oh, my God.
Left, right, and center.
You know, the first time I heard about left all over. Well, I love my favorite thing about syphilis is that Mary Poppins is... The character in Mary Poppins, the Dick Van Dyke character, was just riddled with syphilis, and that's why he was always dancing with penguins.
What the fuck? Yeah. In the book?
Well, yeah, that was the joke, I guess. I mean, it was like one of those things, like when you're behaving in that fashion back then, that was a sign of mental illness brought on by syphilis.
Yes, one of the symptoms of late stage syphilis is
insanity.
Yes.
So Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins was riddled with syphilis. And I only know this because my microbiology teacher explained this to me in class. He was like, oh, the reason why he's acting that way is because he's dying of syphilis. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, that's a great way to teach. I mean, you're touching on pop culture.
Well, he was so because the day before we were learning how to make root beer. You know, I was like, this is how you make sarsaparilla. And then the next day, syphilis on Dick Van Dyke. I'm like, it was a crazy class.
Sure enough.
He was also a vet, so he would sometimes tell us, he was like a veteran.
Were you taking microbiology in high school?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you some kind of like AP student?
No, I was terrible. I was a terrible student.
Yeah.
I was that guy that I never did the homework. I always skipped class, but I always did well enough on the test to just like not... To graduate.
Sure enough. That's about what I was doing too.
Yeah. Just awful.
Good enough to get into art school.
Hey.
Oh, another thing that I think is part of your fame is being on Check Please.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were kind of a gourmand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I spoke about my favorite restaurant in all of San Francisco, the one and only Toulon.
Okay, tell me about that.
So Toulon
I've never been there. It's where is it?
It is in the Tenderloin. It's on it is on 6th and Market. On 6th at Market. It's a Vietnamese place I've been going to for years. This is going to be my 16th year living in San Francisco.
Holy mackerel.
I know. It's crazy. 16? Good Lord.
Do you live in the Mission?
No. I live in, we live up in Diamond Heights, which is you go straight up that hill and there we are. You know where Amazing. That Safeway is? The Safeway in the sky?
Yes.
We're right across the street from there.
I'm actually realizing that Abel told me all this.
Oh. I love
Abel
that
was really prepping me.
He clearly was.
Yes.
What else did he tell you?
Strip clubs came up.
Strip clubs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All good.
What's your favorite, or what restaurant in the Mission would you recommend to people?
In the Mission, I think... it depends on your mood.
I'm vegetarian.
If you're vegetarian.
So if you can incorporate that, I'd really appreciate it.
vegetarian?
Oh, yeah. This seems like very foreign.
Oh, well, you know, there's some really good vegetarian stuff at Mission Chinese.
Oh, my God. I fucking love Mission Chinese. The cabbage with pistachio milk.
And then that's really good. And then the thrice cooked bacon, but you can, I think,
yes,
you know,
without, with the rice.
Yeah, little rice
what
cakes.
Are those? Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good.
That shit's good as fuck.
It's very good, but I'm not a vegetarian. So I, you know.
Do you have a taqueria that's your choice one?
So I mean, very partial to La Palma. Very partial to La Taqueria. And I, you know, I like Puerto Vallarta also. Those are all probably my go-tos. Puerto Vallarta for the tacos for sure. And then La Palma, I'd say La Palma and El Toro for like a nice clean burrito, like a burrito that's not going to completely disintegrate on you. but for the disintegrating burrito, I like La Taqueria and I like Taqueria Cancun, the one up by the Knockout.
What's your sandwich choice in San Francisco? Okay. You can do all of San Francisco.
Deli board is really good, but it's expensive.
Yes, everything's getting so pricey.
It's so fucking expensive. It's like eggs. Oh, God.
Eggs. Can't have them.
Can't have eggs.
Got to get a chicken. Yep. Then you're going to get bird flu.
I know. Well, it's a vicious cycle.
But they got so many chickens on Craigslist.
That's true.
You can't wave a dead cat without
hitting a chicken. My grandma used to kill chickens in front of me for breakfast.
Holy fucking shit. Like kill them, butcher them, and serve them to you for breakfast.
Well, I mean, I would see her kill the chicken and then she'd come back. Maybe not breakfast, but it was for dinner. Yeah, it happened in the morning. I guess that's why I associate. Like, she wasn't going to kill a chicken in front of me and like, there's your breakfast.
It takes time.
It takes a long time. Mm-hmm. But she would break off their heads.
Yep.
With her bare hands.
Jesus Christ. And you grew up in Southern California?
I grew up in Southern California, but then when my parents divorced, I went to live in Mexico for a couple of years.
Jesus Christ. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Where in Mexico?
Guadalajara.
Wow.
Guadalajara.
How was it?
Good. You know, I was the only Asian kid in my neighborhood. The neighbors would call me El Chinito.
Okay, the little Chinese person?
Correct.
Okay. And
I'm Japanese, by the way. I'm Japanese. Yes, I am indeed. Japanese. It's, you know, it's funny. I used to work.
That's fucked up.
It's fine. It's just, you know, that's the kind of racism you kind of grow. Here's the thing is, like, you know, I had grew up with a lot of Mexican kids. And the thing is, Mexican kids, they like to rib you as a form of affection. Some of my closest friends. You know, I think as far as going back to racism, right? If you have I think it's well established that there are certain friends that are really, really close to you that you will just make fun of because they are your friends and you just say these inappropriate jokes and sometimes you dip into the racism territory.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to make any of these jokes. I'm just saying. I'll tell you this.
This is actually another thing Abel brought up was that I should ask you about the racism you've experienced, but also the racism that you have doled out to others.
It's not racism that I'm doling out. It's just inappropriate jokes, and sometimes they veer the Venn diagram of inappropriate jokes. Sometimes racism crosses over.
Maysoon is away, my usual co-host. Uh-huh. She's in Japan. And,
oh, hey.
You know, somehow...
Arigato.
Somehow, I have only had problematic guests in her absence. I had Aaron Harbor was my last one.
How was he problematic?
Oh, my God.
What?
I mean, I tailored everything to not unveil his problematicness.
I see. Well, then... Wait, are you saying that this is problematic right now? I think we're having a great conversation.
No, yes, of course. You won't be canceled at all after Thank this. God. It'll be perfect.
Thank God.
But anyhow, go on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're taking it on. You're ribbing. Everyone's ribbing
each
other.
Well, I worked in an Italian restaurant, and all my coworkers are Mexican, and we would all just make horrible racist jokes at each other all the time.
Was this in Southern California?
Yeah, it was in Southern California. Yeah. So, like... some of the guys that worked there, they called me China. Some of them called me Samurai.
Oh, okay.
Which is at least more culturally appropriate.
Okay. Interesting facts about you. You also went to SFAI for your MFA.
I did.
Do you miss it since it's been destroyed?
I mean, here's the thing is, I'm glad I came to San Francisco. I'm glad I made all the friends. But I got to be honest, yes, if I experience, I wouldn't say that I learned everything that I needed to learn.
Sure enough.
But I made some great friends. I met my wife there, you know.
I mean, you can't beat that.
So I don't regret it at all. But do I miss it? No.
I kind of feel the same about my MFA experience. I went to Mills and I made lifelong friends and I met my girlfriend there.
Yeah.
But again, it's like I blew a lot of money for a kind of silly education.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I think that seems to be the general consensus. You know, I would happily...
Were you a painting focused?
No, I was a printmaker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure enough.
Yeah. Boring old printmaker.
So much process involved in
printmaking. Oh, it's so annoying. It's so
hard
annoying.
For an impatient person like me.
Some people think I'm impatient too, and I don't know what they're talking about.
Oh my God. Okay, we're winding down. Oh. Is there anything that you would like listeners to know that we haven't covered?
Luca and I, we are currently in the final leg of completing our book. We're making a book.
Oh, wicked.
We are making a book of VHS, but it's like a proper fancy coffee table art book.
Hardcover?
No, but it's going to be really nice.
Perfect bound.
Perfect bound, yes. Perfect. It's a thick one, too. We're doing it with this company called Vinegar Syndrome.
Cool.
They are releasing it. They primarily do like DVD and Blu-ray releases of obscure horror cult films, and they've started getting into publishing. And we have a friend of a friend that works there, and they basically asked us if we wanted to make a book with them, which we jumped on board. And you know, Luca and I, we've been working on this thing. Luca has been doing way more work on it than I have because he's a lot better at that stuff than I am. You know, I'm just a big fat loudmouth. That's my skill set.
You're the muse.
I'm the muse. It was like, it's common. Like, I once heard an analogy for how Ben Affleck and Matt Damon wrote Good Will Hunting. And I feel like it's almost like the analogy was that Ben Affleck spent all his time writing the script and Matt Damon was in the corner just doing push-ups.
What?
And like arm, it was like, I'm not saying that's quite what this was.
But like throwing in.
Yeah. Like,
oh yeah, that's good.
Well, because like Luca's just really good at that stuff and I am not. So we very much considered a collaborative practice, but he did so much more work than I am. And I am embarrassed to admit this. He will happily admit this.
Sure enough.
I'm probably not going to hear the end of it, but it's okay. I love him. So it's all good.
But
we're excited. The book's going to be great. It's coming out very soon. Well, it's coming out in July, but it's going to be done soon.
Will it be part of the book fair?
It will be a part of the SF Art Book Fair.
Gotta get over there, folks.
Yeah, also
so
happening
many
in July.
Books premiering.
Yeah, there's the LA Art Book Fair, which we're doing in May.
Phenomenal.
And then there's the SF Art Book Fair. And then, we're very excited. The book should be, it's a beautiful book. It's incredible.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, we'll have an official launch for it, a big old event. We'll do a screening or
food?
Something. Probably.
Pizza?
Pizza, yeah.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We haven't figured out that. But
popcorn?
Popcorn for sure.
Okay, thank God. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, we're very excited. It's going to be great.
I'm really impressed that you did all this
I'm
in the condition
so
that you're in.
I'm so high right now. I'm still very high. I'm telling you this right now. There's like a... there's like a balloon that is just inside my head, and there's like someone else on the outside just constantly inflating it and deflating it with every word I say.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Okay, and I'm going to say free Palestine and from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.
Incredible. 10 out of 10.